Diwali, the festival of light, the coming of illumination, of that seeing the divine presence in the world, whatever is going on, even if it appears to be dark. It's really interesting. In our culture, we tend to think of light as good and dark as bad. They're both divine. They're both natural parts of the flow of life. And classically, the dark represents the unseen, the dream time, the matrix of the divine feminine out of which the divine masculine called manifestation with "let there be light," and there was light. When God chanted, sang the words, it wasn't spoken, it was chanted or sung, which I love. And then that becomes the outer manifest world. Classically, the sun represents the outer world, the masculine world of action and activity, the moon, the inner world of the divine feminine, the unseen, birth and death and dreams and possibilities. There's a wonderful saying that I heard many, many years ago that is, I cannot fear the night, for I love the stars too much. I'm a night person. I love to go out by the light of the moon in its various phases and to watch the stars as they cycle in the night sky. I love the day too with a beautiful sunshine. But I, for many years, lived in a place called Texas where sunshine can become quite oppressive and overwhelming. And we longed for the sun to go down on those summer days, even though it still meant that at 2 in the morning, it was 89 degrees. It was better than 106. And so, being Celtic, I come genetically from a place that really embraces the cycles of nature and the flow between light and dark. And it was really interesting. A number of years ago, I was blessed to go to a number of different Vedic astrology conferences. I was studying. And one time I went, and at the banquet, I was seated next to one of the presenters, who was this wonderful Sikh man. And I was nervous about talking to him, but we started to talk, and we just had this connection of soul. He was just lovely. And as part of the conversation of the night, he said, I find it really interesting. He said, in the West, you don't appreciate the gifts and the beauty of the darkness. All you want is the light. And he said, the darkness has its gifts as well. But it's about, the light is about taking that divine that's unseen, the light that's always there in the stars and the moon, even in the deepest night, and realizing that's the presence of God. And by being a child of light is saying, I'm willing to say, let that light shine through me. Let that divine presence be made visible in this physical realm. Let me open up and share that. It's about finding a balance. Anne Morrow Lindbergh in Gift from the Sea, which is a wonderful book my mother gave to me when I was 18 going off to college. And I reread it at different points in my life, and it always touches me. It was the famous Charles Lindbergh's pilot's wife who wrote this book. And she goes to the beach, and she settles into beach time, which is relaxing. She always brings a basket full of stuff to do, because she's coming through from that outer life of doing things, and she carries it in. And at the end of the time by the sea, she picks it up to take it home with not one thing done from in that basket. Because she's settled into beach time, and she finds shells that represent different things. And she talks about the cycles of life and how we embrace the flow when it comes in. And we are so thrilled when that tide comes in and the water comes up on the beach. And in our souls and in our lives, we love that inflowing rush of things. But when the tide then does its natural thing and goes back out, it can't return until it goes out. It goes out, and we tend to be in fear because it is moving away and creating a void and a space. And we tend to want to hold on to things. And this is that cycle of trusting enough that you can also embrace the release. And she said, what's interesting is once you embrace that release, you realize that there are all these little treasures left in the wet sand that you never would have seen if the tide hadn't gone out. And so it's this balance between tide flowing in and flowing out. It's the seasons. This is the time where we were watching the tree in our front yard on Friday, and this big wind came through, and it just rained leaves. Maggie, our little seven-month-old golden doodle, was like, what is going on? She was fascinated. She barked at him at first. She was going to protect us from those wild things floating through the air. And so that is the natural cycle of things. And if I insisted that it be spring right now, no matter how much I fought it, it's the natural cycle. Corinne Helene, in her wonderful writings, talks about how the outer world is an outer out-picturing of our inner soul realm and work. And that just like in our inner soul realm, there are times of light and times of dark. There's spring, summer, fall, and winter, day and night. That it's about accepting where we are. David had the perfect passage today. Because if you're wanting to be somewhere else, you're not present in the moment. And then you're not able to see the gifts that are present in whatever is going on. I don't know about you all, but I've found that for me, some of the, quote, darkest times of my life was fertile ground in which I grew my soul. And I realized the value and importance of compassion and unconditional love that I would never have gotten at that depth if everything was on the surface. With my life, I've always been what I've called an abyss walker. I go into those dark places because of the family in which I grew and the life of service my brother called me to as a special ed teacher, as a nurse, as a chaplain, as a minister. It's all about, for me, being willing to step into even the darkest moments and hold the light, to remind people that the presence of the divine is there. And other people have gifted me with that. When I have been in a dark night of my soul, they've held the light and said, even in this place, the presence of God is. I've loved the stars too much to be afraid of the night. In our chapter that's this month's, Living in Gratitude, it's about letting be and letting go. And I love it because in it she has Matthew Fox's four deeper lessons of living. And I love these. If you haven't read the chapter, at least go read that page. Matthew Fox's four deeper lessons of living. And it's reminding us that it is all sacred. All Hallows' Eve is a portal in the darkness of the shimmering light of spirit that we don't usually get to see. All Hallows' Eve, hallowed, sacred. It is a sacred space in the spiritual traditions that celebrate and honor the earth. And so the number one deeper lesson of living from Matthew Fox is the dark night is a learning place. Isn't that wonderful? The dark night is a learning place. Rather than fear it, accept it. Notice what is growing into possibility in this dark matrix of the night. The Daily Word today talked about illumination. It was perfect for Dwali. I thought, divine order. But it talks about how before the dawn comes, you begin, if you notice, to see shimmers of light that you can't quite see, but you can feel and you know they're there. And then it begins to get slowly brighter and brighter until the sun comes up and you have the dawn. That is what we do when we seek illumination within as well. In those times of darkness, be willing to look around and say, where in this place? I hear lots of things that go boom in the night, but where is the presence of the divine? Where is the little sparkles of light? Notice those. Focus on those and let them help you see the beauty of the experience you're going through that is there to help grow your soul, not only for you, but for all of us. The second deeper level of living is the softening and watering of your heart. Isn't that wonderful? The softening and watering of your heart. It's about growing in unconditional love. During World War II, Dion Fortune and all of the mystics in the earth-based tradition, people in Great Britain, agreed to come together and to do a prayer time at noon every day. And they would go into meditation wherever they were in Great Britain, and they would see themselves placed in the heart of Glastonbury Tor, the spiritual heart of Great Britain. And it said that there is a beautiful chapel and whole realms of spiritual libraries and sanctuaries deep within the mysteries of Glastonbury Tor. So they would meet there and they would pray. And they were praying for peace and for the protection of Britain. And it's interesting because against all odds, Britain was never invaded. And there are many people who believe that this great wall of prayer protection that allowed good to come through, but that blocked anger and danger, worked. One of the most interesting things is she was asked, do we pray that Germany is destroyed, and so they can no longer cause us harm? And she said, absolutely not. Do not do that. You will amplify the energy of hatred and war and prejudice. She said, what I'm calling for you all to do is to send a wave of love and light to Germany. See it above Germany and just radiating illumination and light, that their hearts will be softened. Because it's when our hearts get hard that we no longer see one another as the children of light that we all are. And so that softening of our hearts is a softening of the stance of the old I'm right, you're wrong consciousness. And instead of an either or, it's an and. We can both be who we've been sent to be in this space if we can soften and water our hearts. The third deeper level of lesson of living is the awakening of imagination and play and creativity, because that nourishes us at a deep level of being. Our culture, we were talking about this in our 9:30 class this morning, focuses so much on that Puritan work ethic out of which this country emerged. And over in Europe, they have many, many more holidays. They have many more vacation days. They have a very different balance of work and play, family, other aspects of life. And so we, when we remember to engage in something that is play, you look at children all over the world, and whether they're a little child from a village in Africa that has one little ball to play with, or someone from an affluent neighborhood somewhere that also has a whole pile of toys but keeps getting out the little ball to play with. Children everywhere, when you look at them and you see them and you look in their eyes, you see the possibilities for all of us now. The ability to play is something that we never want to lose. And creativity and imagination is what lets us see the world from that higher perspective. It lets us vision how do we want our world to be. And we begin with that dream time, and then we add to it our heart and our passion to move it forward. But it's the imagination and the creativity that links the darkness of the unseen matrix with the light of the manifest world in, through, and as us. Honor your creativity. Your assignment for this Sunday is to do something fun today that feels like play. Beautiful weather, you can do it inside or out. We're going to take our three pups on a walk today. That's something that is fun and playful just to watch them. The fourth one is really interesting. It's the purification of our longing. It's recognizing what in our true heart of hearts is it we really, truly want. Is it this thing that we're looking at that we're so attached to? That's what I long for right there. Or is it what that represents that could take a different form or shape? If you can just let go enough to trust the creative process and keep your heart focused on what is your deepest passion? What is it you really want to do in the world? How do you want to be in the world? What legacy do you want to leave? He says you also can look at what sacrifices are you willing to undergo. And in the West, just like darkness, the word sacrifice has a really negative connotation. It means we need to suffer. It means we need to give up something that we really, really want just because of what's demanded of us. The word sacrifice, sacri, do you know what it means? To make sacred. It means to make sacred. It's saying, I'm going to let this go of this outer thing I'm so attached to so I can find the sacred spark within it and then let spirit guide me into how it manifests. So you end up living your life not with these outer attachments that you can use your power of thought to create, but finding the divine light that lies within these outer forms, and then to take it and make everything sacred. Joan Chichester says, daily life is the stuff of which high sanctity can be made. Don't you love that? Daily life. But just about nobody I have ever met, however, thinks that is easily possible. But if we are not spiritual where we are and as we are, then we are not spiritual at all. So welcome to the world with its balance of day and night, darkness and light, up and down. And be willing, simply willing to be that presence and to remember the four deeper lessons of living. The dark night is a learning place. Allow your heart to be softened and watered. Allow your soul to be nourished in creativity and imagination and play. And purify your longing so that Spirit can work with you to manifest highest and best for you and for all. And in doing that, we will create heaven and earth as one in and through and as us, which they already are. Let us just be illumined to find that presence in everything. Let us pray. Oh, sweet, sweet Spirit, abiding presence of the divine. Oh, we celebrate the beauty of the darkness of the divine matrix, the realms of the unseen, the realms of magic and possibility, imagination, birth and death, dreams, visions, inspirations. And we celebrate the beauty of the time of light, of seeing the manifest world as the presence of the divine in all of its infinite possibilities, alive with the presence of Spirit, calling us forth to be conscious channels of the divine. Our souls came from the unseen through the portal of birth. We live in this realm of physicality and light, and then we move back through the portal of the mystery, back to Spirit, ever and eternally a spark of the divine, a presence of the divine. Let us renew and rededicate ourselves to being infilled with this presence and then being willing channels to pour forth those blessings in the world. And this Halloween, when others come to you and say trick or treat, always look and smile and say, oh my beloved, treat. For this time together, we are so profoundly thankful, and we each go forth to do that which is ours to do for the betterment of all, doing it side by side. Feel the kindred souls all around you this morning who are walking this path with you. Let them feel your presence and know that even when things go bump in the night, you've got somebody to walk with. For this, we are so grateful. And we say, Om, Amen, and blessed be. And so it is.